greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. It's a good challenge for us to think about. Did we bring a sacrifice tonight? And as Victor was sharing that, I thought about Romans 12, 1 and 2. Called to bring ourselves a living sacrifice as well. And what sacrifice are we bringing to our Lord tonight as we worship Him? Well, I'd like to open with our theme song. I'd like to turn to 396. And I think tonight we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse of 396. I know not why, God's wondrous grace. Do we have that firm, unwavering faith in the work of Christ in our lives? We sing those verses there in the chorus, and I love the sound that comes forth and the fervor that's there. Is that really what's in our heart? Because I believe if it is tonight, then we're going to have what it takes to be faithful, to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. We have our faith in Jesus Christ and our love for Him. Tonight we sang verse 4, and it says, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. And think about our lives and the reality that as we come and we give our hearts to the Lord and we say, Lord, use us in whatever way you choose. Sometimes we go through some pretty difficult times. And yet, God is faithful, and let's be committed to Him. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. Thought for tonight, for an opening scripture, I'm inviting you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Thought I'd just read the first number of verses here in Romans chapter 1. We have Paul, and Paul is talking about Paul here. In the beginning of Romans chapter 1, Paul's the writer, and he starts this chapter in the same way that he does many of his chapters, or many of his epistles, and he begins by introducing himself, and he shares a love for the people and a desire to serve, and he plunges right in and puts his heart into calling individuals to a life of service to Christ. And just start at verse 1 here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I proposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might also have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now we could continue on reading. It's a beautiful passage. I love the fervor that Paul shares in the opening of this letter that he's writing, this epistle he's writing to the Romans. I love the fact that as he shares to them, down in verse 11, he talks about longing to see them, that he could help to teach them. And he goes right on into verse 12 and he says that we could grow together. He's saying it would be a mutual favor for us to get together and to search the scriptures together and to gain a better understanding of who Jesus is in our lives. And he said he's looking forward to that, to coming and sharing together with them. He wants to grow together with them. He says there, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Well, the verse that I want to zoom into this evening and use for our text is verse 16. And I think tonight I want to use this as our text verse tonight, and I'd like us to just read this verse together. And I want us to think about what we're saying when we read this verse here, verse 16. Let's read it clearly and distinctly together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want to use the first part of that verse there for the title for the message tonight. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Each one of us tonight declared our allegiance with Jesus Christ. We have declared tonight that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we might be thinking, as you read those words there, we might be thinking, of course I'm not ashamed. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to do with Jesus coming and his blood that was shed on Calvary. And that gospel message is certainly not a message to be ashamed of. And that's correct. But tonight I want to think just a little bit deeper. I want to think about this gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul was declaring he was not ashamed of. What was he declaring when he made that statement, this statement in verse 16? Paul was realizing that the gospel message was not popular. He realized that identifying with Jesus placed him in a position where he was despised, and he was classified as being simple-minded and not learned. This was in Rome. This was a group. This was an area where there was much learning. The Greeks rejected Christ because the gospel message made no sense to their well-thought-out philosophies. The Greeks rejected Christ because, as they pondered and thought things through, Jesus didn't make sense. The Jews rejected Christ because he didn't fit into their plan. Their religion didn't, and his calling for a change of life did not fit what they believed. And so they rejected Christ. And here was Paul, and he's a man who is on fire for the Lord, and he realizes that in this city, in Rome, as he makes a statement like this, he's setting himself apart from most of the people for his faith in Jesus Christ. We want to look tonight just a little bit before we go very deep in the message. We want to look at this gospel that he declared he's not ashamed of. In your mind, what do you think of when you think about the gospel? What comes to your mind? I think we probably all think about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's a real part of the gospel. But I don't think that's all that Paul had in mind. I want to just think about the gospel, first of all, before we get very deep into the message here. The word gospel is found 99 times in the Bible. And all the times it's found in the New Testament. 99 times. And we're just going to pull a couple examples in the New Testament where the word gospel is used. And then we want to just kind of step back and look at the word and see its meaning. So I'm just going I'm just pulled out a handful of verses. I'll just read them to you, and then we'll look at what was the gospel that Paul was talking about. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So here we have preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 11:5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's Jesus talking about an Old Testament prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now we could keep looking. We could keep reading all evening. For a long time to look at the nearly 100 times this word gospel is used. But as I read through, as I took the time and just looked at those verses time after time and looked at what the context was of the verses. And when it says that for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, what was the context in which he was talking? When Jesus said that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, well, then you look back and you see, what was he preaching? What was this gospel of the kingdom that was the message of Jesus when he was preaching to those individuals? I believe the gospel of the kingdom that he was referring to was simply the change of the covenants. There was a gospel. There was their religion, there was their Old Testament law, and he came and he preached the changing of the covenants. He preached the gospel of the kingdom was the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It was a kingdom that was in the hearts. It was a kingdom that included all nations. It was a kingdom that went beyond the children of Israel as a group, as a family group, as a bloodline, and it included all the world. That was the gospel of the kingdom. The next few verses refer to the gospel as a message preached to the poor, the brokenhearted, those in bondage, those spiritually blinded, those who were bruised. And this gospel message brought healing to the wounded. It was a message of healing. It was a message of hope. brought healing to the wounded. It brought freedom to those in bondage, spiritual vision and purpose to the lives that before were held captive by Satan. This was the message of the gospel. Tonight, I believe the gospel here is a simple message of God's love and how Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. I believe this is the central theme of the gospel, of how God sent his Son into this world, that he would give his life, shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. But the gospel that Paul was not ashamed of goes beyond this story, and it includes the life that we're called to live as Christians after God has come and done a work in our hearts. And notice that we read the verse there, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. He said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now, I know that that verse has the meaning, has somewhat of a dual meaning to it. And it has a meaning from the side that as the priests and the Levites were there doing their work, that it was only right that the people would give to support the Lord's work. And so those that are ordained to preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In other words, if in his day Jesus came in or his disciples came into a town, it was the response of that town to respond and supply their needs. They lived of the gospel. But there's also an element that where this verse has the context that not only is the gospel message a word, but it is a lifestyle. It's something that can be lived out. Those that which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. It should change their hearts. And so when Paul wrote to Rome, and he wrote to those saints there, and he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He wasn't saying, "I'm not ashamed to cry out to God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ." But he's saying, "I'm not ashamed to be a Christian." The lifestyle, the walk. And tonight, I'm asking us, what about you and I tonight? We're willing to accept the gift of salvation. We talked about sacrifice in devotions. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. What does that look like? What does that look like to you and I this evening? Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I would like to challenge us tonight as we read this verse, our text verse, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I would like to challenge us tonight that as we say those things, that as we make that statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," that it means more than speaking the name of Jesus and accepting forgiveness on our lives. It has to do with lordship. It has to do with surrender. It has to do with cross bearing. It has to do with a change of heart that produces a change of life and a separated people. That's what Paul was saying when he wrote to the church, to the people at Rome. As I was sitting here tonight, I thought about Jesus' words. And he said that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. In another place he said that if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And I think that's in the context that we're looking at it this evening. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I want to just want to turn now to John chapter 15. Why would Paul feel the need to declare that he was not ashamed of the gospel? Why would you and I tonight be ashamed of the gospel message? What's the reason that you and I face face that challenge. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought of these verses over here in John chapter 15. I'm just going to break in at verse 18. Jesus is writing to his disciples, and we know when we get past John chapter 12, we're in the last week that Jesus was on this earth. We're in those last couple days. John chapter 15, if I'm thinking correctly, we're about Thursday of that week there when he was crucified on Friday. But he's here and he's sharing his heart with his disciples. And he says in John chapter 15 and verse 18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." And then he goes on and says, continues with that discussion there. But Jesus is writing to his disciples and he's speaking to us today, and he's making a clear statement to you and I today that choosing to follow Christ is going to put us in a position where we will not be accepted by the world around us. It's putting us in a position where our life is going to put us at enmity with the world. He said, "If the world hath hated you, know that it hated me first." And he goes on to say, "If the world persecutes me, then expect persecution." Tonight I would like to say, you and I need to be committed to stand up for the sake of the gospel, because the message will not be popular in the society we live in. And today we might say, well, we haven't been persecuted. What have we faced? What have we faced? How much persecution have you and I received in this country, in this world, in the U.S. here where we've lived? We find it pretty comfortable. We find a lot of people fairly accepting. Tonight I would like to suggest that I think that some ways we as God's people have conditioned ourselves. We've enjoyed our peace long enough that we've chosen to remain silent when we should stand up for what the Bible says, and therefore we've avoided persecution. And I'd like to challenge us tonight that we would think about our lives and we would make a firm commitment in our hearts that we will not deny our Lord, but we will stand for truth no matter what the cost. Tonight I want us just to think a little bit, thinking about our question here, our commitment. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want us to think a little bit tonight about, just think about your life. Think about what makes up your life. Think about your business, your business pursuits. Think about your family, our houses, our vehicles, our hobbies, our reading materials, the time we spend following the news or the sports world, the time we spend in recreation, our activities, our lifestyle. And I want us just to ponder this question. What does my life say about my commitment to the gospel? Maybe some of us just thinking about the information that we consume. And I pondered today as I was studying. Today is a day I was studying all day, and so I could look at this and say, well, I did spend more time in the Word than I did on my computer. And I did spend more time in the Word than I did on the news. But what about our everyday lives? What about our everyday lives? What does my life say about my commitment to the gospel. He says here, Jesus said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. Does the world love me? Am I accepted in the community? And if I am, is it because I have good values, or is it because I have allowed my values to drift to gain the support of the world around me? And I trust that's not the point. I trust that we've earned respect in our communities because we do value godly things. I trust that we've earned respect in our communities and we're known to be men and women of integrity and people that are friendly to do business with. And men and women who can be counted on for producing a product that is quality and one that honors God and one that is right and good. I trust that's what our commitment is in our community. I want this to be a practical message this evening here. And I'd like us to ask ourselves, I'd like to just get down maybe to the nitty-gritty as I think about, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of your business? I'd like us just to think about that in our own minds tonight. What is the purpose of my business? What is it? What value is it? What is the goal of my business? What governs my choices as I make business decisions, as I make purchases, as I do my advertising? What is the goal of my business? And before we begin to second guess ourselves, I think we need to be real with the scripture and we remember that in the scripture it says that he that provideth not for his own is worse than an infidel. So there's a calling on our lives as you and I are, as on this side of the house, as we've taken the responsibility of a wife and a family, there's a calling on our lives to provide for their needs. In fact, the scripture says that we're supposed to work to meet our own needs, and we're supposed to work harder than that so that we can help those who are less fortunate. It says, work to provide for your own and also to meet the needs of the needy around us. We're called to be good stewards of the talents God blessed us with. Our businesses should be pulling a profit. And I will say that our businesses will also require us at some times to work longer hours than we wish we had to make things go. I think that's life. I think we need to realize that there's seasons in life that we go through, we work through. We shouldn't be apologetic about the fact of working hard. In fact, I believe that maybe my dad's day was more guilty of being workaholics. And maybe my day is more guilty of seeing how little we can work and still provide a comfortable living. Maybe that's the difference of those that were born right there after the Depression. And you and I that are in the generation or so following. But I want us to think about, what is the purpose of our business? Do we ever stop and think about that God has placed us on this earth to provide for our own, but he's giving us a tremendous opportunity for in that time of providing for our own to rub shoulders with those around us and to be a light and a testimony in the world around us? I was thinking about our lives and the way we do our business, and I thought about, maybe you haven't faced it here in Virginia, but in our area, especially when we moved to Michigan, we found that we planted our church in the middle of a culture that likes to deal in cash, And one of the things that our men face very soon as we started to do business there was that almost the first words out of everyone's mouth was, what about if I pay you cash, then what happens to the sales tax? Or what kind of deal can you do on this with cash under the table. That's the culture, that's the environment that we live in there in Michigan. What is the purpose of our business? In business, it's inevitable that we will rub shoulders with those who do not appreciate a reminder that they're accountable to God. Drawing a clear line on financial transactions with a reminder that God knows all things has the possibility of driving away customers. It has that possibility. But I'd like to just challenge us tonight as we think about, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just make it practical enough to think about our businesses. What is the purpose we're here? We're here to support our families. We're here to further the Lord's work. We're here to be a witness in the community. And transparency and honesty has everything to do with being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel, the New Testament life, the recipe for being born again, the recipe for cleansing of the heart is to get those things out of the darkness and to bring them to the light and to allow God to wash us and to cleanse us and to help us to live inside the light. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just thought about some simple things. What about the work uniforms? What about the work uniforms that I buy for my business? Does it maintain a separated air to it, feeling? Or do we sort of take this concept that we're in the professional world, we need to, I worked with sales, stood at a counter quite a bit and sold products to customers. And was the identity of being a Christian blurred by the uniforms that we get for our men? What is the purpose of our business? Do my fellow workmen understand that my work is not a separate segment of my life from my walk with God? Do my fellow workmen understand that? This individual walks with God, and his walk with the Lord encompasses everything in life. The way he spends his money, his willingness to help others, his love to serve. Do my fellow workmen understand that my work is not a separate segment of my life from my walk with God, but that my business is simply part of the whole pursuit of living out the gospel? Maybe even just a greater challenge for us men than a right focus in business. It's just keeping ourselves unspotted from the world on a political and with the political world and the sports world. I'd like to challenge us tonight as dads, first of all, when we think about the political world, how involved are we with politics? How deep do we dive in? How much do we get emotionally engaged? I think it's right to be concerned about the direction of travel of our country. But when we start rooting for people, and when our customers understand that we were pretty happy who was brought in as president, and they sort of think that if we voted, they know pretty much how we would vote. Or maybe they even wonder if we did. You see, that's not how Jesus did. Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? As ambassadors of God's kingdom, we need to avoid being entangled with the gods of this world. And we could talk about the sports world this evening as well. Sports world is especially appealing, I think, to this side of the house. I don't think sisters tend to get involved with that as much. But I remember as a young person, and it was important to me. I got caught up in the sports world, and it was important to me to know who won, what game, and what the statistics were. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be living under the banner that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to need to hold our involvements in recreation and sports under the banner, under the searchlight of God's word. We should ask ourselves this question when we are engaged in recreation. If Jesus were to walk in during the middle of this activity, would his presence make me nervous? Or would I be happy to say, yeah, Jesus, you can just have second base? Now, I don't say that. I'm not saying this in trying to make it casual. But what I'm saying is that I think that we as Christians should consider our activities. And I believe if we're gathered together for a social event to enjoy the social fellowship of the congregation, and we're sitting around a campfire, then we could gladly invite Jesus into our midst. But tonight, if he comes and we're deeply ingrained in the political discussion or in a discussion or in a professional type of a game, then I question, am I ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If I would be ashamed of Jesus to join me in the activity at hand, then I believe tonight I'd have to say that I'm ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the lifestyle that Jesus would support. I want us just to think about that this evening. If Jesus were to walk in during the middle of this activity, would his presence make me nervous and ashamed? Or would I be overjoyed to see him there and invite him to join in the activities at hand? We could think about on the sister's side as well. What about the time spent at the sewing machine? I commend you for doing that. I commend you for sewing your own clothes and in being neat and using color coordination in a proper way. I believe it's an honest way for you to clothe your bodies as God is asking you to do. When you walk into church, I'd like to just give you this challenge. When you walk into church, is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, is that the air that you bring into church? Is that what you're hoping to portray as you come? The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit? Or are you trying to draw attention to yourself? And we could look on both sides of the house tonight with our hairstyles and those things. Whose approval are we seeking? The approval of God and his people? Or are we seeking the attention of the world and of those who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to hold up tonight this banner. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to hold up as our goal and our vision as we go through these services this week. If serving Christ is going to change our hearts, if we're going to have a walk with Jesus Christ that brings fulfillment and brings peace and joy in our hearts, then we need to be like Paul, and we need to accept the walk that goes along with the gospel message. So in our churches, in my own life here, I see a need for a revival in embracing the gospel of Christ. Sometimes we call it cross-bearing. Sometimes we call it nonconformity. We could also call it simple obedience. And tonight I'd like to just challenge us. We look up to those individuals around us who are willing, who unashamedly hold up principles found in the Bible. And I'm just going to throw out a name that I believe we can connect with on this point. Charlie Kirk. There's something about us that connects with an individual who is willing to stand up for Bible truths. But what about a church that asks us to hold up principles of separation that make us look different than society, like wearing a plain suit, or you sisters wearing a traditional covering, or refusing to, or asking you not to drive that BMW. Or we can put other things along that way. Do we admire them as the bride of Christ? Are we at our very core unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are we ashamed to live out the gospel in its completeness and its simplicity? So I want to leave that as a challenge this evening. I want to just give a little time. We're going to have a prayer, and then after prayer, I'm just going to give a little time. If anyone has anything that you would like to share tonight, prayer requests or anything, confession, anything that's on your heart, I'll give a little time for that before we end with a closing prayer. Let's just bow our heads for prayer tonight. Dear God, tonight, as we think about